Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for another opportunity that you have given us this morning to look into the perfect law of liberty, even your holy written word. We thank you that every time we hear your word, we receive the capacity to live by faith. Because your word is spirit and life. And your word brings illumination to us as it is written. Help us to behold wondrous things from your word this morning. Blessed Holy Spirit, our absolute dependence is on you and you alone. For you are our teacher. And you alone can guide us into the truth that is contained in the Holy Scriptures. We don't just want the letter, for the letter kills. It is the Spirit that gives life. So help us to receive the Spirit of the Word this morning, that we may be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for speaking to us, for we have ears to hear what you are saying to us as the Church of Jesus Christ. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 4. We know the passage very well, so we are just going to read it from verse 19 to verse 21. So that we can have a focus on what we are sharing this morning. But then, I would like to read verse 16 first, so that we can see clearly that we are talking about faith here. In other words, the kind of faith that God wants us to live by as His people. So let me read verse 16 first, and then together we are going to read from verse 19 through to verse 21. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Amen. Now let's read verses 19 to 21 together. Let's go. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen and amen. Now, the reason why I read verse 16 first is to encourage us that what we are reading about here in Romans chapter 4 is not just a story that is recorded about Abraham, our father. It is also a teaching for every one of us to imbibe and make sure that we live by. Because it says there, right in verse 16, that therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. And Bible says if you are Christ, in Galatians chapter 3, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you are heirs according to the promise. So this applies to you and I as well. So every Christian, this applies to us all. So we are a people that should live by faith so that we can have access to the grace of God on a daily basis to help us each day of our lives. You know, Jesus taught us to live one day at a time in a nutshell. He said we should not take thoughts for tomorrow. In other words, don't worry about tomorrow, because sufficient for each day is the evil thereof. And as long as you and I have access to the grace of God on a daily basis, we have what it takes to walk in victory daily. Say to your neighbor, God expects you to have victory every day through His grace. So you need faith to have access to the grace of God on a daily basis. All right. Now let's drop down to verse 19. Therefore, and being not weak in faith. So we see that it is possible for us to be weak in faith. It is possible for our faith to be weak. So what happens if our faith is weak? We cannot overcome. Because in order to overcome, you have to be strong in faith. Overcomers are people that are strong. The weak don't overcome anything. In fact, the weak are always overcome by things. Then you begin to see why many of us, even though we have the Bible, even though we read the Bible, and some of us who are smarter than others don't just read the Bible, we study it. Even though we do all those things, read the Bible, study the Bible, we often still fall short somehow. Instead of having strong faith, we still end up with weak faith. So what is going wrong with us? And that's what we want to see this morning by the help of the Holy Spirit. Because you find many of us have the Bible. We spend time reading it, spend time studying it. And still we end up not doing what the Word of God says. And yet we talk the talk, but we don't do the deeds. You see, faith is not a talk. Say to your neighbor, faith is not a talk. Faith is a deed. Amen. That's why the Bible says, don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. And in James chapter 2, the Bible teaches us that faith without works is nothing. If you are just proclaiming with mouth that I have faith, but then you are not doing the deeds of faith, you are wasting your time. So all your Bible reading, all your Bible studying is in vain. You see, the reason why we read the Bible, the reason why we study the Bible, is that we may have clear understanding of God's instruction and then make choices to live by them. Put your finger right here in Romans chapter 4. We are coming back to it. And let us turn quickly to Hebrews chapter 4. See, we all need to have clear understanding of the ways of God. It's not enough to just know about God. You have to get to know Him personally. You see, when you are in a crowd, you can know about God. But then when you are one on one with the Lord, you can learn to know Him and really know Him for yourself. That's why it is important to come to church and also spend time studying the word at home, on your own. The two must go hand in hand. Just like Jesus said, this you should have done without leaving the other undone. The early church did the two together. We see clearly in the book of Acts that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. They went from house to house, and they also went to the temple every day. So they went to church and they studied also at home. Now in Hebrews chapter 4, let us read together verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now see what Bible is teaching us here. This talking to Christians, not unto unbelievers. And God is encouraging us to be on our guard so that we don't just, become slothful or casual with the word of faith and think, well, I'm a Christian now. Once I hear it, once I memorize the scripture, that's okay, I can just quote it and it will be fine. No, that's not the end of it. Memorizing scripture, reading it, studying it, you know, quoting it and all those things are means by which we get to the end, which is to be doers of the word. And to be doers of the word, we have to make personal choices. That's what Bible is teaching us here in verse 2. Two groups heard the same message. It's just like we are here this morning. Every one of us is hearing what is being taught us out of the Holy Scriptures by the Spirit of God. But then what each one of us do with what we hear in the service this morning is a personal choice. Say to your neighbor, what you do with the word is your own personal choice. Amen. It's the same thing with us as students. You know, while we're students and we went to school, in the classroom, the teacher will come and teach everybody the same subject. But then not every student will perform at the same level. So what has happened? Well, some students are smart. When they hear what the teacher is saying, they pay attention first and foremost in the class. They don't allow themselves to be distracted by other unserious students that are in the group. And after they leave the class, they go home and do extra work on their own. They study more on the subject that the teacher taught them. And because of that, they excel more than others because they pay the price. And Bible is saying here, the same word was preached unto them as well as unto us. But they did not profit with the word. It's not that they didn't hear it. They heard it. And you know, we always say, just as Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Isn't that so? If that's all there is to faith, we should say that, well, these people heard the word, so they have faith. How come they didn't profit? See where we get things wrong? Because we often just gloss over the truth of the word of God instead of really meditating in it and allowing the Holy Spirit to give us the understanding of the ways of God. We quote that scripture all the time. Oh, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then we just think that because we have heard the word, we have faith. But Bible is saying here that this particular group heard the word just like the other group, but they did not walk by faith. They didn't mix faith with it. They heard it, but they didn't mix faith with it. And so they didn't profit from the word. And that's where we are going this morning. It's time for us to begin to take advantage of the resources of God that are available for us as Christians and live victoriously while we are in this world. So say to your neighbor, it's not enough to just hear the word of God. You need to mix faith with it so that you're a doer of the word. Amen. So let's go back to Romans chapter 4. And that's why Bible is saying here that Abraham was not weak in faith. And this particular passage is talking about Abraham, what he did before he received Isaac. It's not talking about Abraham when he was considering the thing that Sarah said unto him, that she was too old to have a child and, you know, he should go in with the handmaid, Hagar. So that was Abraham when his faith was shaken because he was looking at the circumstantial evidence. But now he learned the proper way of faith after that experience. And so that's what Bible is recording here. The proper way of faith, the kind of faith that Abraham walked in that pleased God and made God to bring Isaac, the promised child, into manifestation for Abraham. So this is the way you and I are going to experience fulfillment of God's promise in our lives. Our faith must not be weak. So Bible says, again, right there in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not. Say to your neighbor, when you consider physical evidences, you are not in faith. When you consider what you see, you are not in faith. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. So the early mistake Abraham made was to consider the physical evidence. Sarah is too old to have a child. So we have to find a way to fulfill God's promise. Hagar, a handmaid, is a young woman. She's still able to have a child. So that means that's the way the promise of God is going to be fulfilled. And then at the end of the day, he made a big mistake. So if we are going to walk in the kind of faith that pleases God, we must not consider the physical evidence. We must not walk by our own intellect, by our human natural senses. We just have to look to God and His Word. And as we are going to see clearly this morning, one great character of God, which is important for our faith to be strong. If we don't understand this great character of God, none of us can walk in strong faith. You can read this Bible from cover to cover. I can read this Bible from cover to cover. But until each one of us personally have clear knowledge of this great character of God, our faith will still be weak. You see, Abraham heard from God. He knew God. It wasn't even that a prophet came to talk to Abraham. He heard God directly. God called to him, and he heard the voice of God, and yet he still made mistake with Ishmael. So don't fool yourself thinking that because you're a Christian, you can't stumble in the walk of faith. Don't fool yourself thinking that because you read the Bible, you already are in faith. No. You have to understand this great character of God for your faith to be strong. If you don't, you can still stumble in the walk of faith. Now, he staggered not at the promise of God in verse 20 through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Now, see the difference? In verse 19, Bible says he was not weak in faith. So it's possible for some Christians to walk in weak faith. Then in verse 20, Bible talks about strong faith. So it's possible for some Christians to walk in strong faith. And as we read from Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2, we can talk about the two groups in that light. The two groups had the same message. One group had strong faith, and they profited with the word. The other group had weak faith, and they did not profit by the word that they heard. And so here, Bible is talking about strong faith and weak faith. If you are going to overcome, you need strong faith. Say to your neighbor, you need strong faith to overcome. Weak faith can't help you. You need strong faith. Amen. Now, how do we get our faith from weak one to strong one? Notice, it's not that we don't have faith when the faith is weak, but the problem is it is weak. We've heard the word. We know what the scripture says. We've memorized it. But then our faith is still weak. So what is going on? It's not that we haven't heard the word. We probably heard it and heard it again over and over again. But somehow we are still falling short. Why? Let's read on. We'll begin to see the key. And then when we look at a few other scriptures, we'll understand it better. Now look at verse 21. The key begins to be clear right here in verse 21. What helped Abraham to go from weak faith to strong faith? Verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And being fully persuaded. Being fully persuaded. So Abraham is fully persuaded that what God had promised, the same God was able to perform. In other words, Abraham had come to a particular revelation about the character of God as the God who makes promises and also performs the promises. Isn't that wonderful? So his faith is no longer weak just because of that. just because he came to that full realization and he was fully persuaded within himself. It's a personal choice now. He's fully persuaded now that God is a God who makes promises and has ability to perform his promises. In other words, God is faithful. Because many of us as human beings, we are not faithful. We can make promises to people and not keep them. And after people try us a few times, when we make promises next time, they waste their time listening to us. They'll say, well, that man's word is no good. No, better don't waste your time. If he tells you, wait for me at home, I'm coming, you better go to where you are going. He will never show up. You just waste your time waiting at home for him. If you have things to do, just forget about him. Go and do your thing. Because the last time he said he would come, he never showed up. Another time he said, wait, I'm coming on my way now. He never showed up. Next time, wait for me. You just go, find your way, leave him. His word is no good. He's not a faithful person. He can't keep his promises. He's not reliable. So Abraham came to the point where he had personal revelation knowledge and full persuasion within himself as an individual that God is a faithful God who makes promises and keeps his promises. And therefore, I can rely on him without any doubt, without any double-mindedness. So his faith became strong just because of that. And his faith pleased God, and he received Isaac. Now, you see, we have to understand these little things that we often gloss over, and they are the things that make the big difference. Now, let's turn also to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have to have personal revelation knowledge of character of God in the light of his faithfulness. If you want your faith to go from weak faith to strong faith, you have to have personal revelation knowledge of God as a faithful God. Because if your faith is not in the faithfulness of God, if your faith is still based on what you think you can do, your faith is still weak. Because none of us is strong enough, you see. So we can't base faith on ourselves. Oh, well, I think I will be able to believe God. Well, you can start out believing today. I guarantee you that by next week, the devil would have worked on your mind and got you doubting. It's as simple as that. The devil works on our minds all the time. We all remember the great prophet, John the Baptist. Bible says he was one of the greatest prophets. Isn't that so? He saw heaven opened. He saw the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove. He saw the Holy Spirit alight on Jesus. He heard the voice of God tell him that the one that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon, that is the Messiah. He told every one of his followers, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. He said, this is the one I told you about that is greater than me. I can't even undo his shoelaces. He is the one that will save you. He's the one you are to follow. In fact, he told all his disciples, he said, stop following me. I must decrease now. He must increase. So start following Jesus. This is the Messiah. Because I'm not the Messiah. I just came to prepare the way. So he knew that this is Jesus. He baptized him himself. He even told him, he said, well, you are the one to baptize me, not me. And Jesus said, well, just let it be so, so that all righteousness may be fulfilled. So he had personal first-hand knowledge of Jesus as Messiah. But then when he was put in prison, when this same John the Baptist was put in prison, ready to be beheaded, remember what he said? He sent his disciples to go and ask Jesus, are you the one? Or should we wait for another? So what's going on now? Why is he doubting? Well, the devil worked on his mind while he was in prison. Got him doubting now. Well, are you sure you heard heaven clearly? If that's the Messiah, what are you doing here in prison? Why is he not using his power to get you out of prison? Because every time you look to yourself, the devil will deceive you. And that goes for every one of us. And that's why we have to look to Jesus alone as the author and finisher of our faith. The moment we consider ourselves, consider our situation, consider our circumstances, consider our feelings, we are already on the wrong road. The only way to have strong faith is to keep your eyes on God and His faithfulness to always keep His promises, that God never fails. Therefore, why should I doubt? It's no longer about me now, it's about God. And I know God cannot fail. Therefore, I expect that what He said He will do, He will do. When will He do it? I don't know when. How is He going to do it? I don't know how. But I know that He will surely do it in due season. Even if it takes long, it will come to pass. Because God never fails to keep His word. And then your faith will become strong. And the devil will know he can't talk you out of faith anymore. And that's where we all must end up when we are walking by faith. Don't just read the Bible and say, well, I've read it, I know it, I've memorized it. Well, how about you trusting in God with all your heart that God is faithful, who has promised, and therefore His word will not fail in your life, no matter how long it may seem to take. Even if I'm going to believe Him for years before I see the fulfillment in the physical of that particular promise in my life, I know God will not fail me. Hallelujah. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We all quote this also all the time, but the key is right there. We often overlook it. And that's why I haven't quoted it. We still end up doubting God. Now look at what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now let's pause for a minute before we see the key. Because here, Apostle Paul is quoting from the psalmist what the psalmist said long before he was born, what God spoke ahead of time through the psalmist. So he is quoting it here, and he's saying, well, we having the same spirit of faith. The word spirit there in my Bible is written in small letter S to help us understand that it's talking now about our own choice, our own human spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit lives in our human spirit. The Holy Spirit Himself is the spirit of faith. He's ready to help me to believe, but He can't force me to believe. I have a choice to either agree with the Holy Spirit or disagree with Him. That's why we hear the word of God, and many times we still end up doing our own thing instead of obeying God's word. Because we have to respond to the Spirit of God guiding us in the Holy Scriptures by having our own human spirit relating with God in the way of faith. So that's what Bible is saying here. We having the same spirit of faith. So the way to understand it is to realize that your heart attitude has to be one that is in faith. You have to respond to the word of God with a heart attitude of faith. That's what it's saying here. So we having the same spirit, the same heart attitude, the same way of faith as the psalmist who said, well, because it is written, I believe. So I believe on the basis of what was written. Now look at the key in verse 14. Please underline the key word in verse 14 there, knowing. You see? So the Apostle Paul and the rest of them knew. And you and I have to know the same thing. Because if you look at the epistle to the church at Corinth from chapter 1, the opening verses there talks about Paul as an apostle together with Sosthenes. And then together with everyone, literally all the saints of God. So if you're a Christian, you're a saint of God. So it's talking about every one of us now. We have to walk in this manner. We have to walk in this manner. How? We have to have personal revelation knowledge of the character of God as a faithful God, so that when we say, well, it is written, I believe what is written. The reason why I believe what is written is because I know that God always keeps his promises. Therefore, my faith is strong. I'm not doubting. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with what any man can do for me. It has everything to do with God and his word that cannot fail. Two immutable things, Hebrews chapter 6 teaches us, in which it is impossible for God to lie. So verse 14 says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Now reflect on that for a minute. The reason why Paul said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore if I spoken, we also believe, and therefore we speak, is because we know. Because we know that God who raised Jesus from the dead. Now, how did God raise Jesus from the dead? That's the question you should ask yourself. Did God just decide to raise his son from the dead? No. God promised to do so even before Jesus came to the earth. God spoke it ahead of time because the psalmist said, well, God has said he will not suffer his only one to see corruption. And on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit moved Peter to refer to that scripture in Psalm chapter 16. That God was speaking through David and speaking about Jesus, that he will raise him from the dead. And Jesus knew. And he said, well, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, it will be raised again. They thought he was talking about Solomon's temple. They didn't know he was talking about himself. That, well, if I lay down my life in 3 days, I'm going to pick it up again and come back to life. And it came to pass. So Paul is saying, well, God, who made the promise that he will not allow his only one to see corruption, and kept that promise by resurrecting Jesus on resurrection morning, will also raise us up from the dead as he has promised. That's why we are going about proclaiming the message of salvation and preaching the resurrection of Jesus as the basis of our faith. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul took time to explain that the reason why we are Christians and the reason why we are bold about our faith as Christians is because of the resurrection of Jesus. God who kept his word then will keep his word also concerning us. We're people of eternal hope. Say to your neighbor, your hope is eternally guaranteed. Therefore, don't doubt God. Amen. So we see, therefore, that the reason why they are having the spirit of faith or the attitude of faith and responding to the word of God with full assurance of hope and faith is because they know that God is faithful. Say to your neighbor, you have to know that God is faithful for your faith to be strong. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and please get your pen and paper. I'll dictate some points that you can take home and meditate in, but let's look at these scriptures and just have a clear understanding of what we are saying. The reason why your faith is strong is simply because of your personal. Now you have to spend time in the word of God. You have to daily search the scriptures to really see how God, through the pages of the Bible, has been faithful in every generation, always keeping his word, never failing. And because of that, you can believe God in your own time of need. You can base your faith on what God has promised concerning that need in your life and know that, well, God will not fail me because he never failed to keep his word in the past. He will not fail to keep his word now concerning me, because God is no respecter of persons. That's how to have strong faith. It's not by your own effort. No, it's now by you taking the word of God and finally settling it within yourself that this word is not the word of a man that is flaky. This is the word of God that never can fail. God who cannot lie. God who has ability, like Father Abraham said, to keep his promises. And that is the key. Hebrews, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10. So it's all about the faithfulness of God, the great character of God, God who is faithful, who never ever fails. It's absolutely dependable. You can rely on him and you'll never ever be disappointed. Verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. See the expression there, full assurance. Full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let's read verse 23 together. Let's go. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful who has promised. Ha. In other words, the key to ensuring that our faith does not waver is the knowledge that God is faithful to keep his promises. So if you read the Bible from cover to cover and never really get this key, your faith is not strong. You can start out in faith today and doubt again tomorrow. The reason why our faith is stable and unwavering is because we know that God is faithful to keep his promises. So if you don't know that as a Christian, and you are reading the Bible all the time, you are still not going to walk in the kind of faith that will help you. So while you are reading the Bible, you should search the scriptures and get to know God, the character of God. Because you see, we spend time in the Word of God. Isn't that so? When we are reading the Bible. But do we know the God who gave us the Word? If you don't know the God who gave the Word, how can you trust his Word? Is it the key? You have to get to know the God who gave the Word. Because the Word came from God. The Word is only as good as your own personal knowledge of God who gave the Word. For instance, can you trust a stranger? A stranger is a human being like yourself. You just meet him on the road and say, hey, you there, come. You look like me. You have ears like me. You have one nose like me. You have two eyes like me. You look exactly like me. Here, take the keys to my house. Which one of us would do that? You can't trust a stranger. Because before you come, you would have cleaned out your house. You just come back home. Your whole house is cleaned out. The man has taken everything. Because you gave the keys, you never found out who is this man. You just say he looks like you. And that's what we do as Christians. We have the Bible. We carry the Bible. Day and night we study, but we don't even know the God who gave the Word. We don't know the character of God who gave the Word. How then can we trust his Word? You have to know God for yourself. Don't just know about God. Know him for yourself by spending time with him, studying scriptures that teach you about the character of God. Then you'll be able to walk in strong faith. Because you say, well, if everybody fails, I know somebody who never fails. Hallelujah. I don't care what others say. I know him. I can vouch for him. Because I know him for myself. And that was what Paul wrote to Timothy also. He said, I know him whom I've believed. I know him. I'm not just a believer in the Word of God. I know God who gave the Word. I've spent time in fellowship with him. I know him whom I've believed, and I'm fully persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed unto him until that day. You see the key? So his faith was strong because he knew God who gave the Word. And we shall see how to do that. You know, just get your pen and paper and you go home, because it's a very broad topic we are talking about here. I'm just trying to compress it as much as possible so that when we get home, we can understand it better. So God is faithful who has promised. While we are there in Hebrews chapter 10, let's just move forward a page or so to chapter 11. Verse 11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Please underline your Bible the word because. The word there is the key word, because. How did Sarah become a partaker of this great miracle? Because it is not biologically possible for a woman of her age to have a child. We are not talking about, you know, insemination now, or, you know, in vitro insemination, or what they call it now, test tube baby. No, we are talking about natural conception, natural birth for a woman who is past childbearing age. Bible says the reason why she experienced that miracle, the kind of faith she had, because it says there in verse 11, through faith. So we are talking about strong faith now. Because she judged him faithful, who had promised. Because she knew that God, who gave the promise, has the character of faithfulness. So God is reliable, and therefore his promise cannot fail. Because if you don't know that God is reliable, if you think of God like you think of man, your faith will be weak. Turn with me a few pages backwards to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So this is one of the reasons, again, why many of us read the Bible, spend hours and hours, read it, even memorize it, quote it. Some people, when you talk to them, and you say, well, you know the Bible. Ah, they say, yeah, I know. It's in this chapter, in this verse. Well, fine. But then when you look at them, they are not living by the word. Then you are wondering, but you know it, you are quoting it. How come you are not living by it? Again, it's because they don't know the God that gave the word. They are just studying the word without knowing the character of God, so they can't rely on God because they don't know him. And because of that, their faith is weak. They are taking the word of God like they take the word of human beings. Well, let me just try and see whether what is said will happen. And so if after trying a few days they don't see a change in their condition, they just give up. Well, if you really know that God is faithful, you don't give up on his word, because you know God never fails to keep his word. So you'll be there in faith for as long as it takes for the situation to change. No matter how long, you just stand your ground because you know God is faithful, who has promised. Now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us. Let's pause a minute now. They heard the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Isn't that so? They received the word. They heard it. But the key why that word worked for them is written right there in verse 13. It's not just because they heard it. Because like we read from Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2, some heard but didn't mix faith with it. But look at how they handled the word. You see, you received the word of God which you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men. You see the key? They did not receive that word as, well, oh, that's Jesus, the Joseph's son, carpenter, talking. How can he be a prophet? He's a carpenter. And he says now he's a prophet. How can he be a prophet? He's not a carpenter. Last week, did we not go to his father's workshop? And we saw him there. And he was the one helping us to make that little box. And now he says he's a prophet. How can he be a prophet? Don't let him fool you. He's just a carpenter. No. Don't receive the word as the word of man. Even when the preacher is preaching, as long as that preacher is preaching the truth, don't receive that word as the word of that preacher, because the preacher did not originate the word. The word belongs to God. The preacher is just a mouthpiece for God. So don't say, well, oh, pastor so said. No, forget about the pastor. Just say, God said. Forget about who preached. God can use a donkey. Just say, God said. That's all. The pastor is not important because it's not his word. If it is the word of the pastor, you are wasting your time listening to him anyway. Because the word of man is no good. Only the word of God is good. So these people were smart. They didn't say, well, this is the word of Apostle Paul. Oh, this is the word of Apollos. Oh, this is the word of Silas. Oh, this is the word. No, they said it's the word of God. Even though the preacher is preaching it, but we are receiving it as the word of God. So we are receiving it as a word coming from faithful God who knows how to keep his promises. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Oh, I love that. So that word is not coming to them in vain. They are not reading the Bible in vain. They are not studying it in vain. It's producing results in their lives because they are respecting that word as the word of God. Not as the word of man. They are receiving it as the word of God with all due reverence and choosing to believe it and live by it. Hallelujah. Please write this down. Oh, so much, but thank God that the Holy Spirit will help us to understand. Faith is only as powerful as our personal knowledge of the character of God as our personal knowledge of the character of God as the faithful one. Because there's only one who is faithful, you see. God. And if you are going to walk in faithfulness, it is because you choose to believe the faithful one. So if you don't have personal knowledge of that, you're not going to be able to have strong faith. Your faith will be weak. We looked at Romans chapter 4. You can write that down there. Romans 4, 19 to 21. And also we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. You can add that to it also, because the reason why they had that spirit of faith and believed according as it was written was because they knew. They knew God as the faithful God. Now, please write this down. You need to personally have the kind of knowledge of God as a faithful God by meditating in the Word of God that reveal His faithfulness throughout all ages. In other words, look at the Scriptures, search the Scriptures from beginning to end, and see the pattern of God's faithfulness throughout all ages. Let's look at a couple of them quickly, and then I'll give you a list to go and study on your own. All those scriptures talk about God's faithfulness, and you and I can identify with so many throughout the pages of the Bible. For instance, we know right from Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, God spoke about the seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent. He was referring to Jesus, isn't that so? But look how long it took for Jesus to come from the time of promise in Genesis to the time of revelation of Jesus in the New Testament. We are talking about thousands of years. But did God fail to keep his promise? No. Remember also how God made a promise to Abraham that he would give his descendants the promised land. And then God told him 400 years, these same descendants will be in Egypt in slavery. But after that, he will visit them and perform his word. And he brought it to pass exactly as he said. So again, we are talking about God who makes promises and never fails to keep them. Now look at what Joshua said. Joshua chapter 23. See, search the scriptures yourself. When you get home, sit down and begin to make a list. Even in addition to the ones I'll give you tonight, just make extra list. Many other places in the Bible where God reveals himself as the faithful God. But here in Joshua 23 verse 14, let's read together very quickly. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Isn't that wonderful? Not even one promise failed. Every promise God made, he fulfilled. Let's turn backwards to chapter 21 while we are still there. Look at what Joshua said here from verse 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which is swear to give unto their fathers. And they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that is swear unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. Please underline your Bible. All came to pass. Well, these are the kind of scripture that will help you to know God as faithful one who keeps his promises so you can rely on his word. Also, when you get home, read 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. That talks again about God who is faithful. And then add all these scriptures, meditate in them when you get home. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. Isaiah 49, verse 7. Lamentation chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3. All those scriptures reveal God as faithful God. And when you meditate on scriptures like that, your heart begins to have personal revelation knowledge of the character of God as the faithful one. And that will help your faith to go from weak faith to strong faith, because now you see the promises of God as the word of God who never fails. God who always performs his word. So as we close, let's turn to Lamentation chapter 3. We are going to use this individually to reflect on the promises of God relevant to our needs here this morning, and to look to God who is faithful to perform those promises in our lives. It doesn't matter what your need may be here this morning. If you just look to God with that understanding deep within your heart that God is faithful, who has promised. Therefore, what he has said about my need, he will not fail to keep. Do you need healing this morning? What has God said about sickness? If he has promised to heal you, then you have to expect to be healed, because God is faithful, who has promised. Do you need deliverance out of some affliction in your life this morning? Well, what has God said about that? He said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivers him out of them all. Well, God is faithful, who has promised. Therefore, I expect to be delivered out of this trouble that I have in my life. When will that happen? Well, I don't know, because I know that God makes everything beautiful in season. I know that it's already settled in the spirit, because the word of God is forever settled in heaven. I'm just waiting for the physical manifestation, and whatever time God chooses to perform his word in the physical for me, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not going to doubt him. I'm not going to be double-minded. I'm going to be strong in faith until I see God bring his word to pass. That's just what it is all about. And that's why in verse 3, when you get home, you read Hebrews chapter 4 again. Look at the next verse, to verse 2 that we read. Verse 3 says, when we have believed, we enter into rest. So you won't be struggling and stressing yourself over the situation. You just go to rest because you know God is faithful, who has promised. So every day you wake up and you bless him and thank him. Oh, I praise you that you are faithful to keep your promise. You promised to heal me, oh God. And I'm expecting physical manifestation of the healing because I know it's a done deal. You never fail to keep your word. I know I'm going to wake up one morning and I will never feel any symptom of this sickness anymore in my life because you have already done it for me. It's a done deal. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I praise you, faithful God. That's how to keep your faith strong until your Isaac come into manifestation. Because Abraham had to do that every day. Bible says he began to give glory to God. He began to praise God for Isaac. And he did that for years before Isaac came into physical manifestation. And that's how we do it. So lamentation, and please open this. You know your need. Forget about the person on your right or on your left, one-on-one with the Lord now. Because you have to work out your own salvation right there in the presence of God by trusting in God as the faithful one. And whatsoever he has said about your situation, he will perform. And therefore, you are rejoicing in him, knowing that what you are going through right now is subject to change. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You are having problems today. Tomorrow, the solution has shown up. That's how it goes. You are in trouble today. Tomorrow, God has given you the victory because he's faithful, who has promised. But you have to stand your ground in faith and be strong in faith by focusing on the faithfulness of God. That's all. That is all that is required. Lamentation chapter 3. When you get home, you can really spend more time doing it. But just before we go, let's set it in motion. You get home and sit down with the Lord one-on-one with him and reflect on this as we are about to do from Lamentation chapter 3. Look at it when you get home from verse 19 to verse 26. Lamentation chapter 3 from verse 19 to verse 26. Remembering mine affliction and my mystery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul had them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. See, when you are going through trouble, you don't need anybody to tell you. You know what you are going through. Others may not know. You can feel it because you are the one putting on the shoes. You know how it's hurting you. That's what Jeremiah is saying here. My soul, my emotions can feel it. My mind can feel it. I know the problems. I know the pain, the bitterness I've been through in life, all the troubles that have come my way. I know. And they are there. But, that's the key. Am I going to sit down and just think about all those things and then feel sorry for myself? No. I'm not denying the fact that I've been through bitter experiences of life. So he says, well, I've been through these things. I'm going through them. My soul really feels the pain. But, look at verse 21. These I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. There's what to do in the midst of your trouble. Recall to your mind the faithfulness of God. Recall to your mind the faithfulness of God. So what are you going through this morning? What has God said about that situation? Now you recall to your mind the promise of God concerning your situation. Because that was what Jeremiah did. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Our hope comes from the promise of God and the knowledge that God is faithful who has promised. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great. Please underline the word great. Great is thy faithfulness. Even Jeremiah knew the character of God. And in the midst of his sufferings, he was able to call to mind hope, because God is faithful. And therefore, I have hope. So this morning, I'm saying to you, you have hope. No matter your situation, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. There is hope for you. Because God, who has promised, is faithful. He will never fail to keep his word in your life. Weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. You are in trouble today, tomorrow is testimony of victory. Because God never fails. God never fails. Now, lift your hands to him right where you are and begin to thank him for his faithfulness. Just talk to him one-on-one now. And say, Lord, I call to your mind. I call to my mind your faithfulness. In my trouble, I call to my mind your faithfulness. Your compassions that don't fail, because you have promised that nothing can separate me from your love. And therefore, the troubles that I have, they are nothing. They are but little thing in your sight. You are my healer. You are my deliverer. You are my strong tower. You are my defense. You are my way maker. You are my all in all. My all sufficient God. And if God be for me, who can be against me? And so, Lord, I'm thanking you for your faithfulness. That you will never allow me to fall or to fail. As it is written of you, unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Unto the only wise God, our Savior, you are my Savior, dear Lord. No matter the afflictions that come my way, no matter how many they are, you are my deliverer out of all of them. And so I'm thanking you for your faithfulness to deliver me out of all my troubles. Trouble at work, trouble at home, trouble on my job, trouble in the family, trouble in every area of my life. Thank you for your great faithfulness to deliver me out of them all. And to turn every situation around in my life for your glory. Whatsoever the devil planned for evil against me, thank you, Lord, for turning them around for good by the power of your Holy Spirit. Because you are faithful, who has promised. I bless you for it, Lord. I give you the glory in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands to him and thank him. Father, I give you praise for everyone under the sound of my voice. You said in your word, if any two shall touch and agree together concerning anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of you, our Father who is in heaven. I touch and agree with every one of my brothers and sisters here this morning. No matter the need in their lives, as they have looked up to you in faith and hope, trusting in your faithfulness, I thank you, Lord, for the revelation of your faithfulness to them individually as you perform those promises that are relevant to their need. For your own glory, O God, and for the fullness of their joy. Thank you, faithful God, for never failing your people. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.